An old country preacher. He supported himself, so he was an electrician on the side. And the church needed a new roof. It's going to cost about $5,000. And so he got creative with his electrical skills. He decided to wire electricity under each pew in the church. And then he put a switch under the pulpit. And the day came for him to announce that $5,000 was needed for the new roof. And he said, "Now, for everyone that would like to give towards the project, would you please stand?" And he flipped the switch. And a whole bunch of people jumped to their feet. And within a very short period of time, they had the $5,000 and more. It was just a wonderful day. But there was a downside to the story. Six people were electrocuted. Apparently, they didn't want to give. I love that story. Anyway, hey, good to have you here, and appreciate everyone coming out. The title of the series I'd like to begin is titled, "The Best Christmas Yet." The Best Christmas Yet. Now, some of you have had many Christmases, some not as many, but you know, what is the possibility of this Christmas season to be your best one? Why can it be? And so over the next four Sundays, we have four Sundays in Advent and then Christmas Eve, we're going to cover five different topics. Hope, that's what we're going to talk about today. Next week, we're going to talk about peace, then joy, then love, and then light on Christmas Eve. But how we make it the best Christmas yet is this. It's when you and I understand and embrace who Jesus can be to each of us, that it can be the best Christmas and December we've ever experienced, when and if we just set our hearts upon Him. Now, when we talk about hope today, and that's our theme, and Pam and Sherry kind of shared some hope thoughts, there's a verse here in your notes, and I'll have Grant put it on the screen. Let's read it together. "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure." This is talking about in the big picture of what Jesus Christ can do for us. He gives us hope. And you know what hope is? It's an anchor. It's firm and secure. And we find that any vessel, any ship needs an anchor. You know why? In the stormy times of life, the anchor holds the boat in place. But you know what else? An anchor is needed even in the good times of life. You know why? Without an anchor during the good times, a boat can drift if it's not anchored. And so whether it's a difficult time or a good time, the Bible says Jesus is an anchor for us, firm and secure. I want to give you a simple definition of hope. It's in your notes. It's also going to be on the screen. And here it is. Hope is not merely wishful thinking. Rather, it's an expectation based on the promises of God. Now, we use the word hope a lot. For example, I hope we win the game. I hope the food is good. I hope my friends are good friends. So we use that in a very wishful way in casual conversation. But that's not the definition of hope for the purpose of the message. Here it is. Hope is this. It's an expectation that is built or based on a promise from God. It's an expectation, something we expect or believe God for, and it's based on what God's word says, and it becomes an anchor to your life. Do you realize you have anchors in your life? We all do. The question is, what are they? We can anchor to things in this life, materialism, relationships, that's all important. But you know what the true anchors are? The eternal anchors based on the promises of God And when we build our life, it's called hope, on these eternal anchors, you know what happens? They are firm and secure. They hold us in place. Got some simple slides of what hope can mean. Here's the first one. If you only carry one thing throughout your entire life, let it be hope. Think about that. You and I carry all kinds of things with us in our backpack, in this thing called life. But make sure you got hope in that bag somewhere, because it does something for us. Here's another one. I've never seen this one before. H-O-P-E, it says, hold on, pain ends. I thought about this, and there's something every person in this room and watching online has in common. You know what it is? It's very simple. You and I, we're all hoping that the pain in our life, if it's real severe, ends at some point. We do. We all have pain. And you know, one of our hopes are that somehow, some way, I can find relief from it. Hold on. Pain ends. I mean, hope is just that. God, I need your help in this area. Here's another one. Abraham Miller. A man or a woman begins to die when he or she ceases to expect anything from tomorrow. Think about that. You and I will shrivel up on the inside. We will just kind of shrink back if we don't have a hope for something better tomorrow. And so, regardless of our age, young or old, middle age, this thing called hope is a big deal, because we need to hold on, pain ends. We need to believe God for something better, and we need to have expectations about our futures. When you leave here today, I hope you have a higher level of hope. The needle in your tank, I hope it goes up by the end of the message. I mean, that's the goal, that we leave here more hopeful people. Now, read with me in Romans 8:25 in your notes. But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. You know, we don't have to hope for things that we have. We already got them. We hope for things we don't have. And Paul says, we hope for what we do not yet have. I want us to watch a video. It's a little over 3 minutes long. Kind of sets the stage for the message as well as for the Christmas season. So just sit back and read the words on the screen as we just kind of reflect on this whole concept of hope. So here's what I want to do this morning. I want to share four basic truths about hope, and then I'm going to share some ideas of how we get more of it. All right, so two different categories. So take your sermon listening guide. Let's get started. Four truths about hope. Number one, God is the source of hope. God himself is the wellspring, the fountain, the originator of all hope. Read with me Romans 15, 13 in your notes. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Notice it says the God of hope. He is the originator. He is the source. And Paul says that the God of hope can fill you. And so, interesting, circle the word overflow. Now, I got a question for you. Everybody's got a hope tank inside you. And the question is, where is the needle on your hope tank this morning? Is it kind of on empty? Is it in the middle, or is it full, or is it overflowing? You see, everybody's got a tank, and God wants to overflow it with hope and give us an excitement for life. Jeremiah 29, 11, let's read that. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. I want you to notice God does not have plans to harm us. Sometimes we think he does. God, why is this happening? Why is that? And I wish this wasn't in my life. God does not have any plan to harm us, but rather to give us hope and to give us a future. The psalmist said this, guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. When we build hope upon an expectation based on the promises of God, we look to God the Father as our source of hope. Now, here's a quote about hope, and I think it applies for all of us. Hope is seeing light in spite of being surrounded by darkness. You may be here this morning and you feel like darkness is surrounding your life. Hope is all the more important because we see that by faith, even when all around us seems so dark. But God is the one we look to as our fountain, as our source of hope itself. Number two, the second truth about hope is this: it will renew your strength. It will renew and refresh your inner person. Read with me Isaiah 40, 31 in your notes. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I want you to circle three words. Circle the word soar. Circle the word run, and circle the word walk. You see, everybody here lives life in a different gear. Sometimes we walk, sometimes we run, and sometimes we soar in the sky. And so the writer here says, those who hope, or the King James Version says, wait on the Lord, renew their strength. If you're here today and it's the front end of the Christmas season and your gas tank is on empty, you know how you get it filled? You get some quiet time away with God himself and you park yourself in his presence and you just are silent, you're still, and you literally let him fill your tank back up when you are just waiting before him. So hope and waiting on the Lord renews our strength. The psalmist put it this way. He says, why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Oh, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my God and my Savior. You know, Thanksgiving and Christmas, and especially after Christmas in January, can be one of the most depressing times of the year. People are emotionally low. I mean, it's high expenditure and high output, but many people have these emotional lows where you just wonder if you'll ever get out of it. And here's the secret. The psalmist says, hey, why are you so downcast? Put your hope in God because he's the source. And he can renew us, refuel us, fill our tanks in a way that nobody else can when we get still before him. So hope will renew our strength. Here's a quote from a simple one. It says, hope is the best medicine of all. If you're here today and maybe you feel like your tank is empty, maybe you're just exhausted from Thanksgiving and or a busy season in life, you know what your best medicine is? Get away by yourself. Just spend some time, get with God, nobody else, just you and him, and say, God, will you refill me for when I walk, when I run, and when I soar? And he will do it. Okay, number three. The third great truth about what hope does or is, hope is found in the promises of God himself. Hope is found in the promises of God. Read with me Psalm 119, 114 in your notes. You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word. You see, you and I can only find true hope, eternal hope, when we look into the word of God. Simeon, in Luke chapter 2, just around the time when Jesus was born, an older individual, it says that he received a promise from God. God spoke to him and said, you're not going to die until you see the Lord's Christ, which is Jesus. So here's a guy, and I don't know the length of time from the promise to when he actually saw when Jesus was born, but it had to be a period of time. And you know what? How he lived his life from that point forward after the promise came? I think he had to live in hope. Why? It was an expectation based upon a promise from God. God may have spoken something to your life that you say, can this really happen? Will this ever change? Is this my future? And we go through seasons of wondering, but hope and expectation based on the promises of God is what anchors us and keeps us firm and secure when we haven't seen it yet. Anna, also in Luke chapter 2, it says she got married. She was married for 7 years and the husband died. She's probably in her early 20s. And it says she lived till she was 84. It's interesting. I mean, she had to deal with the grief and the loss of a husband. But you know what the Bible says about her? She gave herself to prayer and fasting, worshiping and serving other people. And so for that entire time without a husband, her life had been shattered, her dream. She walked it forward. And I think what kept her serving God and kept her faithful was this. She had a hope. She said, God, you can use me even though I've lost my husband after 7 years. And I think this hope factor, she anchored to something, a promise from God, and her life was fruitful and useful because she trusted and kept an expectation that God would help her, and in fact, she did. So here's a quote from Anne Frank. Where there is hope, there is life. In other words, if you and I can hang on to hope as this rope or this anchor that is firm and secure, we will experience newness in life. How can December be the best December we've ever had? It's very simple. We lean into the hope machine. This hope, this fact that Jesus Christ came to bring us that, and when we lean into that, we experience new life because we experience emotions as if it already happened. You see, that's what hope does. When you believe something, you almost feel it and experience it before it happens, and yet the actual happening may be some time away. So hope is found in the promises of God. Number four, the fourth truth about hope is this. Eternal hope bridges this life to the next. This is an eternal hope. And in Colossians 1:27, let's read it. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want you to understand the eternal hope. It's an anchor. And if Jesus Christ is a living part of our life, it bridges this life to the next. Do you know why? Eternal life is a gift, nothing we can earn. And even though we're walking the earthly journey, we can know that heaven is our future home because he's in our life. If Christ is in you, you have the hope, that anchor of glory or that which is heaven. Read with me 1 Peter 1:3 in your notes. Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. If there's any hope, any anchor that you and I need to have in our life, it's this one. Because God wants you to be sure. He wants you to be fully persuaded. He wants you to be confident in this hope. There's a lot of unknowns in life, but this is one is like a rock-solid anchor for each of us that God wants us to have. And it's birthed in us. It's a living hope based on the death and the resurrection of Christ himself. It bridges this life to the next. So, four simple truths about hope. God's the source. He's the fountain. Number two, we renew our strength by waiting or hoping upon him. Number three, hope is found in the promises of God himself. And number four, eternal hope bridges this life to the next based on what Jesus has done for us. So now I want to share some thoughts on how do you get more hope. Maybe you're here this morning and you've got hope going in your life. That's a wonderful thing. We all have a measure of it, but how do you get more of it? How do we build on it? How do we expand hope? Because in order to find life, you got to have hope. You got to believe for something better. So I want to share three thoughts. Number one, the first thing we have to do is we must put forth an effort to take hold of it. It's not automatic. It just doesn't fall into your life. There's a part we play in this to take hold of it. The words take hold means this, to place under one's grasp. It means to become a master of it, to take possession of it. And so you and I have to do our part to get a hold of it and take possession of it. Read with me, Hebrews 6:18 in your notes. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. The writer says you got to flee to it. You got to go after it. You got to get passionate about it. Say, God, I want more hope in my life. I want to take possession of it. And good things happen when we fill our hope tank. Let's read Ephesians 1:18 in your notes. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Do you realize if you want to know more about your inheritance, it's on the table for our taking if we go after it. We just got to lean into it. We got to push hard and learn to understand more. And we just have to put it under our grasp. We need to gain a master of this thing called hope. Here's a quote on hope. Let me read it to you. It says, even your past pain can be a blessing to someone. Hope lifters are willing to reach back and pass hope on. Let me explain that. Do you realize you can be a hope lifter? You know what I mean by that? You pass on hope to somebody else because you've already been through it. But you know what you do, had to do to get through it? You had to take hold of it. You had to fight for it. You got to battle for it. And once you achieve that victory in that circumstance or that area, you become a hope lifter. You step into other people's lives at the Big M, on the street corner, at college, wherever you're at, and all of a sudden you can speak into someone else's life a word of encouragement as a hope lifter because you've already taken possession of a victory in that similar circumstance. We gotta take hold of it. Understand, we gotta get hungry and thirsty for it. And the more we do that, you know what happens? The needle in our hope tank gets filled up. It moves. It goes to a higher level. And the higher it goes, the greater God can use each of us to be a hope lifter to people in this world who are hurting and broken and haven't figured out the true source of hope. We have to put forth effort to take hold of it. Number two, the second thing we need to do is this: find hope by spending time in God's Word. I just have to stop here. The secret to your hope level in your life is proportionate, and it's in a relationship with the amount of time you spend in God's Word. Let's read together Psalm 30, verse 5 in your notes. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His Word I put my hope. Circle the word word. I mean, in His Word I put my hope. Micah said this, but as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God my Savior. My God will hear me. The secret of filling the hope tank is finding time, taking time to spend in God's Word, and you begin to mine the gold. You say, how does this apply to me? How can I find hope in that verse? You know, as you think about December and it gets busy, we have to realize God wants us to live in victory. And I want to read from Psalm 1. I think it's a great example of somebody that takes time to find hope. Here's what it says. Blessed is the man or the woman who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of mockers. Here it is. His or her delight is in the law of the Lord. And on His law or His word, he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. You know whose lives will prosper? Are the ones who spend time meditating, ruminating, digesting, reflecting, memorizing God's word into their souls. And it says that person's leaf will never wither. What's that mean? Your life will be blessed. People will look at you and they say, wow, what's up with him or her? You know what the secret is? You're like the psalmist. You've spent time meditating, leaning into, digesting, going after God's word and how it applies to your heart. You know, there's different ways to do it. We get into the word. We read good books. We listen to good radio stations, Family Life Network, what, 103.5. I mean, we just listen to good broadcasts. We get with good people. And what it does is you fill your hope level in your life. The meter, the needle, goes higher. And when you live out of an overflow of hope, your life is like the psalmist that says, your leaf will never wither, and whatever you do will prosper. Isn't it amazing to see somebody's life that, you know, whatever they attempt to do, God just blesses it. You know why? I think they're anchored through an expectation of God's word, of what he wants to do in them and through them. Here's a quote as we wrap up this second point. Hope means hoping when things seem hopeless. Maybe you're here this morning and you are hopeless in a certain area. We all have those areas. In other words, you've given up on it. Or you wonder if you should give up on it. You say, well, God, I thought you were going to do this, and I'm believing you for this, and it hasn't happened. Hope means hoping even when things seem hopeless. That is the power of an anchor. An anchor that's firm and secure based on the promises of God himself. Number three. And this is, I love point number three. Here it is. Live life as a prisoner of hope. You know, when you think of the word prisoner, you usually think of it in a negative way. In the book of Zechariah, he uses it in a positive way. And here's what he says. Return to your fortress, which would be God himself. O prisoners of hope. God wants you to live as a prisoner of hope. What does that mean? You never get away from hope. You can't. Why? Because that gives life. You got to hang in there with it. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. This is an amazing verse, and I just have to say this. Has there been anybody in your life that maybe did you wrong, and you got shortchanged out of something? And it could be money, it could be something that happened at work, it could be something that's unfair. Here's an amazing verse that says, when we give it to God and we become a prisoner of hope, here's what he says, I announce to you, this is God announcing it, I will restore twice as much. You may be that person today. There's something in your past that's been totally unfair, and you're out of something. You came up on the short end of the stick. Here's what it says. God can restore it twofold. He'll give you twice as much. But you know what it takes? Hoping and trusting in God's word, who he is, and you just walk it forward. But he says, listen, I want you to be a prisoner of hope. You can't get away from it. You shouldn't get away from it. You know why? Hope is the only thing you got. You hope when it seems hopeless because you never know what God is up to and he wants to do for you. So here's the final slide. Here it is. Never lose hope. Just when you think it is over, God sends a miracle. You may be here today, and you've given up on some area in your life. I mean, life is brutal. It beats us up. And there's places and times where we tend to throw in the towel because it seems hopeless. Man, I got to give up on that dream or that thought or that idea. But you never know. Just when you think it's over, God sends you a miracle. So I want to close with this question. What miracle do you need today? I mean, what is it you need in your life? Because you're hoping for it. You don't have it. That's why you're hoping. And so we say, God, unless you do it, unless you come through, unless you provide, it's over. But our part of the journey, become a prisoner of hope. You don't escape it. Don't try and flee from hope. Go toward it. Become imprisoned to hope. You're going to hang on to it. Because you never know, just when you think it's over, God shows up and sends a miracle into your life. How can this be the best Christmas yet? You start with hope. You know what hope is? An expectation based on the promises of God that are firm and secure, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And when you and I become that prisoner of hope, we hang in there. Even though it's been years, it's been frustrating, you never know when God will send his miracle into your life that will be the game changer going forward. Let's bow for prayer. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I just want you to take a few moments and tell God, what miracle do you need? I mean, what is it you may have given up on? Open your heart to him and say, God, here it is. It may feel ugly. It may feel dark. It may be a pocket of defeat, whatever it is. But just open your heart to him. And listen for his voice to speak life and hope and a future into it. Just take a few moments in complete silence. Heavenly Father, I pray for each person here in this sanctuary, and I pray for each person listening online. And you know what we're hoping for, but it hasn't happened yet. Father, I pray that you will fill our tank with a new level or measure of trust in and faith and hoping in you. And Father, whether it's today in this moment or tomorrow or maybe a week or whenever it happens, we are looking to you for a miracle that you will send to change us or to change the circumstance or to change another person. Come and love us. Come and just embrace us. Come and speak life into that area or areas where we think it's over. So, Father, may Jesus himself this Christmas season be the game changer as we look to him in faith, that he will do for us that which we cannot do for ourselves. And we will be like the psalmist. Our leaf will never wither. Our lives will be fruitful. And whatever we do, whatever we put our hands to, will prosper because we've anchored our life to an expectation based on the promises of God. And for this, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.